Well, good morning, everyone.
We will begin.
You hear us, and that you are always available for us. And we pray that you would lead us by your Spirit this morning, Lord, and just guide us. We thank you for the prayers in the Bible. We just thank you for your Bible. We just thank you for your Word. We thank you that we can hold it in our hands. We can read it. We thank you that you have allowed us to have it, and really, and even here in this country, in multiple copies, really. But Lord, we praise you for your Word, and may we receive it with understanding this morning as we look at another prayer in the Bible. And so lead us now by your Spirit. Amen. Well, my question is today, how thankful are you? How thankful are you? We will be looking at Jesus healing 10 lepers and only one came to give thanks to the Lord. So he is so awesome, and I was just thinking of a song and Blessed Assurance came to mind because the ending chorus of that, this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Is that consistent with your life? Are you praising Him all the day long? Are you thanking Him? Well, we have much to be thankful for. So let's sing Blessed Assurance together, number 21. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Number 21, second verse. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Amen, huh? Amen. Well, we're in Luke 17 again today. Last week, we were looking at verse 5, where the apostles' prayer was to increase our faith. And that was just a glorious prayer, a glorious study, really. And right after that now, just the very next subject, we change locations a little bit. And we read in verse 11, now it happened as Jesus went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to them, arise, go your way. I'm sorry, Jesus said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Well, we have a great little prayer here. It's only 6 words, really. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, 6 words. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, just picture this. Jesus comes into this village, and here are 10 lepers. Of course, they're standing afar off. They've got to say, unclean, unclean, unclean. And remember now, leprosy is the absolute worst thing you can have, in a sense. In that you're a total outcast from society. You're ostracized. You can't be with your family. You can't be with your children. You can't be with anybody. You've got to be in the leper's colony, and you've got to say unclean, unclean if you come within 50 paces or so of anybody. And so here they are. They're gathered together. They all have the same problem because they all got leprosy. So they're sticking together in a way, but they're far off, we see. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So verse 14 says, so when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. Well, now what would you have done if you had been one of those lepers? What do I want to go to see the priest for? I want to be healed. I've got this terrible, terrible disease, leprosy. But you're telling me to go see the priest. Well, we see that 9 of the 10 are probably Jewish, pretty obedient, pretty legalistic. At any rate, all 10 of them apparently obey him, and they go on their way because it says, and so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. So they're on their way to the priests, and they were cleansed. Now, the priests had never had a cleansing of a leper before, so this would have been quite an experience for the priests, I'm sure. And notice Jesus is adhering to the law. Of course, he came to fulfill the law. And he does not want to be healing lepers and then having not been in accordance with the Levitical law, which has a procedure for a priest cleansing a leper, or stating that a leper has been cleansed, really is probably more where they have the two birds and they sacrifice one in the water and then they take the water and sprinkle it in the blood on the other one and then it flies to heaven, typical of Jesus Christ being resurrected. And he's pronounced clean after the 7 days inspection and so forth. So they're on their way now to the priests. And it says they were cleansed. And then verse 15 is very revealing. It says, and one of them, one out of the 10, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. Just picture yourself here. Let's say that the thing that you wanted more than anything else in the whole world ever that you got, whatever it is. And here they wanted to be healed. I know more than anything in the world, because a leper couldn't want anything more than that, I don't think. They're healed now. So what do? You got what you wanted. What do? I'm healed, praise the Lord, and you're running around the hills, probably on your way to the priest, and the last thing in the world you think about is giving thanks, because you're so caught up in yourself, you're so thrilled that the position you're in, and whether it's prosperity or whether it's healing or whatever it is, you got what you wanted, but you take it to yourself, and you don't give God the glory. So we have only 1 out of 10 doing that here. Now, does Jesus notice that? You bet your bottom dollar. He returned and with a loud voice glorified God. Don't be hesitant when you thank the Lord and just say, well, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to speak too loudly. I mean, I'm not that excited about thanking him. You know, I mean, I'll thank him, but, you know, I'll just go do it very subdued. No, he was falling down on his face. Notice the humility there. He's gotten the best thing that could ever happen in his life. He's cleansed, and he falls on his face in giving thanks. Do you do that? Do you fall on your face and give thanks to the Lord? Whether that's literally or whether it's figuratively, I'm talking about now surrendering totally to the Lord and not taking it into yourself. It's not easy because the flesh will do it the other way. Why do you think 9 out of 10 didn't do it? Now, there's some legalism there possibly, and you know, the Jews are very fastidious on wanting to be obedient to keep the law. And so they're keeping the law in a sense. The law says go to the priest, and they're on the way to the priest, even though they're cleansed now. But here's a Samaritan. Samaritan doesn't know the law very well. And I think it's a great example for us there. I think it's very easy for me. I know the scripture pretty well now because the Lord has blessed me to be in it for a number of years. But I see a total unbeliever out there who is just, you know, he's like the, I don't even want to be close to him because he's so far away from everything. Do you know God can do maybe even a greater miracle in him than he can do in me in a way? And he doesn't have to know the Bible, all 1,189 chapters, verse by verse. He just trusts in the Lord, and the Lord blesses his socks off because he saves him, right? And here's what happened to the Samaritan. The Samaritan didn't know all these rules and regulations, but he turns to the Lord and gives him thanks. Now, which are you? Are you the legalist? Are you nice and tidy and neat, and I don't want to deviate from my little path here, and I don't certainly want to touch that person over there because, first of all, they smell and they're dirty and their clothes, and I just don't want to be with them, right? Or do you say, Lord, thank you for what you've given me? And there I was, and I would have been even worse if you hadn't saved me, remembering where we came from. But one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving Jesus thanks. That's where we want to be. We want to be at the feet of Jesus, giving him thanks. We want to be more like Mary than Martha. Yes, we want to do what the Lord has us to do, but not be taken over with busyness, not being taken over with, well, as long as I'm really working my fingers to the bone, Jesus is happy with me and I can't stop it all. That's not really what he wants. He wants your heart. He wants your heart. He wants your worship. He wants your praise. He wants your thanksgiving. Not because he needs it, because it's a sign of a closeness with you. And he wants that closeness with you, doesn't he? Fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. So many times in the scriptures, we have a foreigner who is the focus. Remember the Syrophoenician woman, the only woman that it says in the Bible, O woman, great is your faith. And on, the good Samaritan on the road to Jericho when he was took care of the guy who was beaten when the priests and the Levites walked by on the other side. Now Jesus sees what's going on. Of course, in verse 17, it says, so Jesus answered and said, were there not cleansed? But where are the nine? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to the man, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well or whole. That's sozo. Sozo has a connotation of being healed for sure, but it also has a kind of a double connotation. It's not just healing the body, it's healing the soul. So ten. 10 men had their bodies healed, but only one had his soul healed. Only one received really the healing of his soul. So look at yourself now and look at me. We're all lepers, right? We've all been cleansed of our leprosy by his blood, right? So here now we're like the 10 who have been cleansed, but how thankful are we, right? I've been cleansed of my leprosy, but now am I really thankful? Or am I taking things credit for myself on how busy I am and how much I'm doing for the Lord and all about me, or is it all about him? Am I really falling on my face with a loud voice giving him glory and thanks? And would he tell others or whatever, would he know that I would be one of the one and not one of the nine, right? I don't want to be one of the nine who just takes the gifts and not even giving thanks for them. But that's so easy. Spurgeon said it's easier to find nine people that fastidiously keep rituals than it is one to truly give thanks to the Lord. And whether it's really 9-1 or whatever the ratio is, I don't know. But in this story, it's 9-1. And it's probably there's a reason for the Lord giving us this story for sure. So we need to look at our lives and are we really thankful? Are we really thankful? And just consider what he's done for you. So easy today to get your eyes on the problems in your life. So easy to get your eyes on the problems of the world. So easy to come up with a comment, can you believe that? Well, it's going to get a lot worse, so we'll be saying that much more if that's where our focus is. But we want to have our focus on what he has done for us and then be motivated by that love to be praying that he would accomplish that in others because they would allow him. He'll do everything short of violating your self-will to save you, but he will not violate your self-will. So he's not going to force himself on anybody. So we say, save that man. Lord, save that man. I pray that all the time. But when I pray that, I know good and well. What I'm saying is, prepare the heart of that man to receive. Prepare that heart of man to want to reach out to the Lord because the Lord will not force him. So spread the gospel. Where you have given the gospel, there's no response yet. Start to pray and keep praying until you have no breath or they have no breath. Amen. Father, we thank you for this wonderful prayer, and it shows us so much about the fleshly aspects in each of us that tend to take things to ourselves and not give you credit and not give you glory for everything. It's, I accomplished this, I accomplished that. By my hard work and ingenuity, I did this. Oh, forgive us, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Oh, here we are this morning now with the opportunity to use these moments to come to you in prayer and to be led by your Spirit in praying as you would lead us in total unity because of being led by one Spirit. So Lord, guide us now and may you be glorified in each of our hearts as we would bow down to you, giving you thanksgiving for the grace that you've given us, for saving us from the leprosy of sin, for healing us, for cleansing us, Lord, and guide us now in this time of prayer. And Lord, may we pray as the Spirit would lead us, Lord. And in this group time, may we keep our prayers short as everyone has the same access to you and nobody has the only access to you. So pray as you're led by the Spirit. Lead us now, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Let's pray.